Welcome to All Caring Conversations, your health and wellness matters. I'm your host, Tracy Dawn Brewer. Today, you're going to get to know Jeannie Archinol. Jeannie is an RN, health coach, and an amazing part of our wellness team. Jeannie is also a breast cancer survivor. She's a warrior. She shares her story with you today and offers so many excellent hints and resources. I hope you are empowered to be proactive with your own health and get your preventative screenings after hearing her story.
Welcome to a new episode of All Caring Conversations. Today, I'm happy to introduce to you Jeannie Archinol, who's not only a registered nurse and also a health coach with our Alt Care and Primetime Health Plan Wellness Team. She is a breast cancer warrior. Mm-hmm. So Jeannie, I would love for you to share with everyone a little bit about your professional path with our team before we dive into your personal story.
Okay, so actually I began my Alt Care and Primetime Health Plan career in 2019. And that was after being a nurse at Altman Hospital for about 28 years in various departments and roles.
Great. Now, I really, again, thank you so much for being so willing to share your story. I know you've done that for us in the past, and we've, you know, shared a little bit of that on YouTube on our channel, but I love having you on as a guest so I can talk to you personally about it because you're just so inspiring and you love to encourage others that, you know, understanding that cancer treatment is doable and that it's also survivable.
Yeah.
So can you share how your journey began to give power to that statement more on a personal level?
Sure. A little bit of a long story, but I'll kind of make it brief here for you. So way back when, 2006, I had an excisional biopsy for a breast lump that was found by my gynecologist at a routine visit. The lump was benign at the time, but through that experience, that instilled in me the importance of wellness visits and cancer screenings, in particular mammograms and self-breast exams. So in 2019, I actually found a breast lump while performing a self-breast exam. And since I was already established with a primary care physician and a gynecologist, I was able to get care quickly so that we could see exactly what was going on. So unfortunately, I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, and it's more of an aggressive type cancer. And I think little is known about this type of breast cancer than any of the breast cancers that are out there. The National Breast Cancer Organization kind of explains it this way. So triple negative breast cancer is a kind of breast cancer that does not have any of the receptors that are commonly found in breast cancer. So they say, think of cancer cells as a house, and the front door may have three kinds of locks, and those are called receptors. So one is for the female hormone estrogen, one is for progesterone, and the other is for a protein called human epidermal growth factor, or HER2. You may have seen that in commercials for cancers, for drugs for cancer.
Yeah.
So if your cancer has any of these three locks, doctors have keys. They have hormones and drugs that can help destroy these cancer cells. But if you have triple negative breast cancer, it means those three locks aren't there. So doctors have fewer keys for treatment. But fortunately, chemotherapy is still an effective option. So that was a pretty good explanation there, I thought, just to differentiate what triple negative is.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah. So with my providers, I was connected with a great team of specialists at Altman to begin treatment right away, which consisted of a biopsy for the diagnosis, a lumpectomy, which was a removal of the breast mass, chemotherapy, and radiation. I was relieved that I had treatment options for the cancer and was even given a good prognosis, being that we were catching this cancer in an early stage. We were able to find the tumor at a stage one. However, I was floored when I heard that even though it was a stage one tumor, that I would still need to go through chemotherapy and radiation. But as I mentioned just earlier here, that there are no real other treatment options, and you want to do everything possible to get this cancer out of your body. Right, so right. A cancer diagnosis of this kind can be a really heavy thing to deal with. I think I went into an emotional shock. My thoughts were all over the place. I couldn't concentrate on anything. I couldn't sleep. At the time, I was very physically fit. I was eating a well-balanced, healthy diet. I was taking herbal supplements that supposedly were going to ward off cancer. I've always been a non-smoker, and breast cancer did not run in my immediate family. So how is this happening to me? You know? So I felt betrayed by my own body. Everything I was doing in my life was to prevent this from happening, right? So for me, this is where a strong faith in God comes in. It gave me great comfort to know that even though the why of this diagnosis was too big for me to comprehend, that I believed in an all-powerful God who was in control of it all. Oh. So I didn't know what tomorrow would bring, but he did, and I could rest in that. So God doesn't want anyone to have cancer, but if it happens, he can be with you every step of the way. So I read my Bible every day, and Jesus's words gave me power, and prayer gave me great peace. I had a great husband that was my support, close friends, a great church family. My cousin had recently battled cancer as well and was a great source of not only information, but she was an incredible inspiration to me and spurred me on, you know, every day. So, but once I wrapped my head around the cancer diagnosis and accepted that this was indeed happening to me, I started doing research. I came prepared to my doctor's appointments with questions about treatment, second opinions, alternative medicine. A treatment plan was set up, and many of my questions were answered many times over and over because I would ask the same questions over and over because nothing was sticking. And I ended up having an IV port placed, and chemotherapy was started. So the nurses at Altman's Cancer Center are some of the most caring and genuine people I have ever met. They were wonderful. They listened. They offered mm-hmm. a quick touch or a hug if needed. They went out of their way to make sure I was comfortable during treatment. I felt as though they were just truly, truly concerned for my well-being from the get-go. As a stranger walking into that department, I felt their care. I can't say enough good things about these women. They are incredible. Medications that we have today can really help with side effects of nausea and pain. I would always feel the roughest 2 or 3 days after treatment was given. Felt like I had a terrible case of the flu. It would last 1 to 2 days, and then I would just feel tired after that. Usually by the time I was feeling completely back to my normal self, it was time for another treatment. But I continued to work part-time throughout the whole thing. And I would just kind of get up in the morning, I would pray up, wake up, put on a brave face, and then I would head into the office. You know, so, and some of those days were hard. I won't lie about that. But in hindsight, going to work, you know, it kept me moving. It kept me active. It helped my mental well-being to be out with people. And I work with some of the most incredible coworkers and management team ever. So that made life so much easier for me. And then before I knew it, chemotherapy was done and it was time to move on to radiation. Radiation, I was able to do over my lunch break. The sessions were really short. It would leave you feeling very tired. So I would take naps often if needed. But other than the skin irritation and that comes with the radiation and needing treatment every day, Monday through Friday for several weeks, that got a little tiresome. It was doable. The radiation techs were incredible. You get to know them very well, seeing them every day. Sure. And they celebrated with me when my treatment journey was completely over with. They all celebrated with me, which was a special touch. So it takes a while for treatment, after treatment, for you to get feeling back to normal, if you ever really do. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So the physical toll of cancer on your body can mend. You know, your hair grows back, taste and appetite return to normal. Stamina will pick back up where it left off eventually. But the person you are changes a bit after you've gone into battle. So life and the preciousness of it takes on a new meaning. You learn a lot about yourself and how wonderfully made you really are. You learn who your friends really are and that absolute strangers are capable of showing the most unexpected kindnesses. You learn to not sweat the small stuff and to let go and let God. For me, life is appreciated in a whole new light now. The trivial is not worth stressing over, and I do not let it stress me out anymore. And once your life has been weighed in the balance, being joyful is my daily goal. And by the way, the healthy lifestyle that I was leading, that when I was diagnosed with cancer, that I felt had, you know, betrayed me, you know, it was really that healthy body that helped me get through treatment. You know, it's true. Eating well, exercise, maintaining healthy weight, not smoking is beneficial for your health. No doubt. But even when health issues occur, a healthy body can make all the difference on how you tolerate treatment and how quickly you can recover. So all that said, you know, cancer treatment is very doable, but I can't stress this enough. You need to take one day at a time, because if you don't, it is too overwhelming. It's just too hard. Just one day at a time. Your cancer team will walk you through every step, and you just need to rely on your family and friends to help you through it. And the prayer always helps.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So can I ask, like, the status of, like, the, what do you do now just to make sure you keep an eye on things? Is that part of your life now?
Yes, absolutely. So it's kind of like a 5-year plan. So since I was diagnosed in 2019, so I'm 3 years into this. And so it's visiting my providers every 6 months, getting lab work. Sometimes it's a CAT scan. Sometimes maybe it's an MRI. It just depends. Mm-hmm. But keeping up to date with that. And then just, you know, still trying to maintain healthy diet, exercise, you know, and just, you know, staying positive.
Yeah. Definitely. You are so positive. Oh my goodness. Because when we were preparing for this, again, I know we've talked about this journey before, but this is a whole different format. And I'm really glad that you agreed to share your story with our listeners. Yeah. The one part that you're always stressing is that you need to get your preventive screenings done.
Yes.
That's just so important. And it really starts with establishing a good relationship with a provider.
Yes.
You know, and you already had that established.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I can't say enough about that. And that really is, you know, being established with a primary care provider is really the best way to start getting these screenings started. It gives you an opportunity to talk about your health history, your family health history, and that can determine the screenings that are best for you and when to get them started. You know, that annual wellness visit, that yearly physical is what allows you to, allows your doctor to do that head to toe check. You know, and make sure that you're staying on track with screenings and that you don't miss any. And if you have had a cancer screening done, then that's your source of who you can discuss the results with. What do you do next? When do you need to have another cancer screening done? You know, it's just a very important part of a wellness visit. So I always encourage members that I talk to, Alt Care members, Primetime members, you know, write down questions. If you know you're going to be discussing your cancer screenings, ask questions. You know, knowledge is power. So write down questions and take them to your visits. And just to be a reminder that, you know, most women diagnosed with breast cancer do not have a family history of the disease. And I know, and statistics are still 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer. So, but I do hear that a lot from people when we talk about how important mammograms are. They're like, well, it doesn't run in my family. And It doesn't matter. Most women diagnosed do not have it in their family.
Right. I mean, that is a contradiction to what you hear all the time as one of the first factors of, you know, bringing it up with your doctor. And we're really fortunate that you're also a medical professional. I mean, you're an RN. And it helps to hear this, not only from your perspective of surviving this, battling this, but your knowledge. And, you know, I know you know what you're talking about. And I love that you're sharing this because like mammograms and self-exams. 1 minute it's in the news that you should do this. The next minute is we're changing the criteria and the age. And it's like, well, then a 30-year-old has found breast cancer. And it's so confusing. So having that relationship with a provider so you can talk to them one-on-one about you, specifically you, it's just so important.
Right. Absolutely. And
Do you still feel like there is a good source to look for the criteria for mammograms? I mean, do you recommend a certain location? Do we follow like American Cancer Society and things like
sources
like that?
Yeah, there are some very good resources out there. One of the ones that I use a lot just to see the latest and greatest on what's going on with cancers. And it covers all cancers, but in particular breast cancer. It's the it's called the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. That's a great resource. There's also the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Lots of good information there. There is the National Breast Cancer Foundation, and the Susan G. Komen websites are great resources. They have videos. They have screening advice. Also, Altman's website. In their cancer section, they have information to help cancer patients. They have resources there. You can get nutrition counseling, information on clinical trials. So that's a good resource as well. And not to mention, there is a support group there that the Altman Cancer Program offers to people. So more information is there. But those are just some resources to name a few.
Today's episode is brought to you by the new Altman's Timken Family Cancer Center, opening this month, September 2022. Comprehensive, compassionate care that is close to home. Altman's Timken Family Cancer Center is a new facility that fulfills a vital need in our community. Visit altmanfoundation.org and click the Timken Family Cancer Center in the top navigation to learn more.
Oh, I will definitely link all of those in our show notes. So they're so, you know, accessible to our listeners, because that's a great list. And I appreciate that you shared, you know, such specifics. I mean, that's very helpful. And going back to talking about, oh, this isn't in my family. It's pretty important to try to get your family to talk about this. Sometimes they don't want to tell you, or they don't want to share because they think they're oversharing, but it's really really important to talk to your family, you know, grandmother, aunts, and even the men in your life, the, you know, your uncles and grandfathers, because now we're hearing that prostate cancer is an indicator for women to get breast cancer.
Yes, absolutely. So family history is so important. So, and you're right. So the effects, on when to start screenings, and your treatment plan, if you do happen to find a lump, can all be based on your family history.
Wow.
So whether or not genetic testing is needed may be influenced by all of this. Sometimes finding out this information, like you said, can be a challenge. You know, this just doesn't come up in casual conversation. But I always encourage, because if you do need genetic testing, they're going to ask you all about your family history in detail. So I had to go back and quiz my parents and find out, what did grandma die from now? And what did uncle so-and-so have? And, you know, you needed all of that information. So I always encourage, ask blood relatives about their health issues. And it can include anything, cancer, heart disease, diabetes. It's all good to know. If the relatives were diagnosed with cancer, ask about what age that diagnosis came about. What type of cancer did they have? If the family member passed away, was it because of that cancer? You know, you can ask parents, siblings, grown children, because again, this isn't stuff that comes up in casual conversation. You can move on to half siblings, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, if you have a chance, because your genetic testing, if needed, will quiz through, you know, your entire family and want more information about that. So, and also if you get a well visit every year or a yearly checkup, you know, usually at the end of your visit, you get an office summary of, you know, and it has all your health history listed on there, or a lot of patient portals at different doctor's offices, you can get your health history. So it'd be something easy to print off and discuss with your children so that they know everything that's going on with your health history. So it's an easy way to share your information if it doesn't come to mind very easily.
Yeah, that's a great point. And this isn't always something that affects a woman. Men can get breast cancer as well. It's just not as common. But I personally have had a friend, I've lost a friend who, you know, developed breast cancer, and he passed away within a year. And it was, I think, very just shocking that that happened. So I know that that's something that men need to look for as well.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I looked at a recent stat, and it said about one out of every 100 breast cancers diagnosed in the U.S. is found in men.
Wow.
And so they say that, okay, so if you're a man and you've had several female members of your family that have had breast or ovarian cancer, or one of those female members have that known BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene mutation, they've had genetic testing done and have that gene mutation, then you as a man should let your provider know about that. And then the symptoms are real simple, real similar as to that what women look for, you know, any lump or swelling in the breast, redness or flaky skin around the breast, irritation or dimpling of breast skin, or any nipple discharge. Any of that needs to be reported to a provider. And then, of course, you know, men can lower their risk just by keeping a healthy weight and exercising regularly, and of course, not smoking. Right. That's good advice for everybody. But yeah, just things to be aware of, again, where family history plays an important role.
Wow. Yeah, that's great information. Thank you for sharing those, you know, symptoms and things to look for. Again, it's not that different, you know, than what we look for as a woman. So that's really helpful. And I really appreciate, again, that you shared all of those resources and, you know, helpful links that I'll share. Do you have any other little helpful hints for our listeners, maybe that helped you get through your treatment or, you know, that they can also do for preventative, you know, approaches?
Yeah. Other than, you know, keeping up with your yearly visits to your doctor, you know, primary care is good for women. A gynecologist is good. Just to make sure that, you know, we all get busy, you know, we put things off, you know, just put it on your calendar. You know, we all have smartphones now. Put it in, set it a reminder that you can schedule these appointments and just get it done. Cause like I said, we're all busy and time flies, and, you know, before you know it, it's the end of the year and you haven't done it. And it's just so important. It takes a small amount of time, but you know, it is so important to get these done. The other thing that I just remember when I was going to be losing my hair, that was a really big ordeal for me. Actually, one of the hardest things for me to know that that was coming. YouTube. People put amazing things on YouTube. And if you just kind of put in the search engine, you know, hair loss with chemotherapy, I was amazed at these brave women who would get on and make these videos about how you deal with hair loss. And they would take off their wigs and they would show their bald heads, and they were proud of it. Like, you know, this is just something I'm going through. This is not who I am. This is just something I am dealing with right now. They would show you how to put on makeup. They would show you how to draw in your eyebrows. They would, and I would sit there and just cry at the braveness of these women who were just willing to put it out there to complete strangers to help people. That blew me away. I was just so moved by that.
Yeah, that is a wonderful tip. I never even thought about looking for something like that on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Very encouraging. Very, very encouraging women.
Yeah. And I know that in the Altman shops, we have the breast cancer center, and they have the, well, it's like, what's the little boutique called back there? But I have been back there many times to get head wraps for friends, and they have wonderful help back there. They will, you know, help you go through all kinds of, you know, bras and for head wraps and resources for wigs and all kinds of things.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Yeah. A great place, a great help. Yes. Yeah. And, they're, the same people that are associated with some other, companies that sell wigs in the area. Yeah. And and they will even follow up with you in a couple of months. I've gotten texts from them saying, hey, we just haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing? Just, you know, seeing how your cancer journey is going. Uh-huh. I mean, like I said, the kindness of complete strangers has been completely overwhelming. It's just amazing. You know, I think our community is amazing, and what we have to offer for healthcare and support around here is truly amazing.
It is. It is. And you are amazing. And again, thank you to you so much for sharing your personal story and your journey. You've been so open, and your strength is amazing to me. And it's so valuable because someone is hearing this, and hopefully it will kind of entice them to, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get that first mammogram, or I'm going to get a follow-up mammogram. Don't be scared. You have to know knowledge is so much power. And, you know, I just really appreciate your time. And thank you again for sharing everything that you have been through and all your knowledge with all of our listeners today.
Yeah. And if I may just add one more thing. So
absolutely.
All care members, Primetime Health Plan members, you know, there's case management and disease management departments in alt care that can help. So if you're finding you're approaching a cancer journey and you want to know where resources are or get some education or anything like that, we'd be more than happy to help. So we can do that.
Yeah, those are both found on our altcare.com and pthp.com under health and wellness. Our care coordination teams are amazing.
Yes.
And I just can't say enough good things about what everybody in that group does for our members and our community. So that was a great reminder. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. Well, take care. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.